This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Really excited to welcome Matt Adams. Essentially, he's available to us when the majors are taking place from Fairways of Life and also the Golf Channel. And Matt, I have no idea. Normally, you join us in the final hour of the show, but you're awake right now. Why?
Hey, Amy, just getting ready to go on the air at 8 a.m. for us for FOL show. So excited about what took place, though. I thought it was a great week.
I did, too. So as we see the Masters move back to its rightful home in the spring with the azaleas, it's the course starts out with diabolical greens, and then we get some rain, so it's a little softer. But what do you take away from this first major of the year at the Masters?
Well, so in broad brush, it goes along the lines of what you're just saying. First of all, it's the Masters returning to its traditional spot. The Masters has always represented unofficially the start of the golf season, maybe officially in the minds of so many because people are coming out of the winter. This winter, I think, was particularly dark because of everything else that we were dealing with as a people, as a world. And maybe as those azaleas bloom, they do what they always do. They provide us with hope. They provide us with a thought of what's next, about what can be, and in the case of this Masters in 2021, about a light at the end of the tunnel, that maybe we're coming out of this pandemic and that the vaccines are taking hold. So I think it represented a lot for a lot of reasons, and much of it was tied to emotions.
I would agree, and I feel the same way about baseball or any of the other sports that are just starting up here in the springtime. They definitely represent some hope. So Hideki Matsuyama, he is already an icon because of the way that the Japanese citizens and the media really builds up their pro athletes. We've seen it in baseball at times, too. So, of course, about basketball. You're an American like I am, but what does this mean to Japan to finally have a major winner in golf?
Again, it means a great deal. I think it's important to have some sense of the depth of it culturally, though. If you're covering an event and you're on course, it sometimes confuses people when they see the number of media that's within the realm of inside the ropes or near the players or wherever you want to define it. Mm. Well, part of the reason being when you're talking about players from Japan, especially Hideki, and it's only going to become even more intense. He's actually followed by Japanese production crews. That's how intense the interest is for what he's doing back in Japan. So you've got to think about that. You've got a guy that was coming into this week as a five-time winner on tour, which is pretty darn good when you think about it, but it's a five-time winner at 29 years old. And he actually has a crew following his every shot just for putting it back to his home country. Now I can't even imagine how much higher it's going to go. There are all kinds of estimates in terms of dollars and cents in what type of impact it's going to have. The minimum estimate that I've heard in terms of value to Hideki Matsuyama, but it's unclear to me if it also includes value to rights holders, et cetera. But nonetheless, it does equate to a minimum of hundreds of millions of dollars. And from my perspective, someone that works in the game of golf, it's great for golf that in a country that already was crazy about the sport, it's only going to kick it up another level. It didn't need to be kicked up a level in the United States. It's nice if it does, but it didn't need to be because it was already boiling on the stove. Golf is a huge hit right now. And again, it ties directly into what we were just talking about with what's going on in the country and the pandemic and all the rest, that it was already at an all-time high. Now you pull in another region of the world and say, oh, you guys are a major champion now too. Come join the party. It's incredible.
Mm. Fairways of Life Radio, Golf Channel, Matt Adams with us here live on After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. It was noted multiple times during the broadcast that Hideki is a master at scrambling. What does that mean, Matt? How do you get to be a master scrambler?
Well, he's an interesting guy. I mean, not only with what they're referring to, which is getting up and down when he needs to. The most important stats when you look at Augusta National, everyone assumes that it's putting, and putting is critically important. The most important, if you take a look at, say, strokes gained, tee to greens, particularly strokes game approach, because you've got to hit it in the right area of those greens that you were alluding to when we came just before I came on the air with you, and then it's scrambling. Those are the ones that are all in front of what you do with the putter in hand. So if you cannot get up and down, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble at Augusta National, and you have to take advantage of the par fives. If you look at what he did during the course of the week, he was actually one over on the par threes. He was even par on the par fours. So, yeah, he did his damage on the par fives for the course of the week. But he's an interesting guy on top of that in terms of, I guess you could call it scrambling his way through life, but that almost implies that there's something to it that's nefarious, that he's getting himself out of trouble. He's quite the opposite. He's very private. Which is interesting, isn't it? Because here we are talking about him becoming a superstar in his homeland. He lives in just a really nice but normal neighborhood in Orlando. He and his wife had a baby girl in July of 2017, and it's interesting, Amy, because he had not won since 2017. And it makes you wonder if it's kind of like a situation maybe that Rory McIlroy's going through where you become a dad for the first time. He also had a baby girl with his wife, and you wonder maybe it's they're smelling the roses a little bit. You know, they want to stay home with the baby. All these things. Most players, when they become a parent, they go in one of two directions. Either they become like the Uber competitor, or they're kind of like, ah, I'd like to kind of smell the roses here a little bit. So in some ways, I wonder if this victory is a return to the Hideki Matsuyama that was winning at pretty regular clips through 16 and 17 multiple times, you know, and he's back to being that guy again. We'll see if that's what happens there. But other interesting things, he likes to play catch to keep loose.
I mean, wow.
You know, just on a week, he travels with baseball gloves and a ball just to say, hey, you know, let's go play catch. I mean, he likes to fish, but he says he can't swim. So, you know, off the dock. It's just, he's an interesting guy in a lot of ways, like everybody, but he's one that just, he naturally is a shy guy. And it's just, again, interesting, his chosen profession. And in this case, it's going to put him on a very, very big stage.
Mm. I mentioned this last hour when we were starting the show that I can't imagine he gets home, meaning to Japan, very often. And I know Jim Nantz mentioned his parents and so many people watching. But it's really cool that the Olympics are there this summer because, if nothing else, and I don't know when else he would have the chance to get back, but he'll have the chance to be on that huge stage in Tokyo.
Yeah, again, it just, when you start to consider what it means for Asian golf, what it means for Japanese golf, what it means for Hideki Matsuyama, to think that, you know, the green jacket is going to be represented in the country hosting the Olympic golf is incredible, hosting all the games, really, but hosting Olympic golf for him to be representing Japan and to be the reigning Masters champion. Yeah, it's very, very cool story.
I sometimes wonder how it is that we end up seeing guys like a Will Zalatoris, who is a Masters rookie, finish second, right? It's his third ever major, and yet he's got this great moxie. Even Hideki admitted that he was nervous all the way through. And the type of steel will that it takes, a 24-year-old who's never played in this event before, to be able to keep up for the most part and finish second, that is so impressive, Matt.
Yeah, he's a really cool kid. 24 years old, Wake Forest product. And inside the game, people have been saying for some time now, keep an eye on him, keep an eye on him, keep an eye on him. Now, it was with good reason. His best finish on tour was a fifth at the Shriners Hospitals for Children Open, but he tied for sixth at the 2020 U.S. Open in the last year, tied for seventh at the Farmers Insurance, tied for 8th at the Corrales Punta Cana, tied for 10th at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, earned himself temporary membership status on the PGA Tour. So, yeah, he has a swagger about him. He has a confidence about him, but it doesn't cross the line into an arrogance. It may even have a bravado, but it's not arrogant in any way. What's amazing about Will Zalatoris is the way in the game of golf you have these crossroads. And I'll tell you a couple of them in his case. When he was 3 years old, his parents had him on a driving range where they lived then in Northern California. Who comes over but none other than World Golf Hall of Fame member, a major champion himself, Ken Venturi. And he sees this little boy. He leans down on a knee, helps the little boy put the grip correctly on the golf club. And he says, "This is your golf grip. Don't ever let anybody change it." Fast forward. I spoke to Will Zalatoris, and I was like, dude, I just ran through with you what his performance was. It won with the U.S. Open coming out of the pandemic, but then in earnest this spring, just going crazy. And I said, what happened to you? What did you do during the lockdown that allowed you to do this? He was like, where I live in Texas, he was from Plano, Texas, he goes, I play golf constantly with Tony Romo. I was like, really? He goes, yeah, he knows how to put on the needle. He said, I was in all these money games. There's other tour players down there, Jordan Spieth down there. And so he kept himself competitively sharp by playing in these money games nonstop. And then he becomes friends with Lanny Watkins, another World Golf Hall of Fame member. And he said, Lanny doesn't know that every time he speaks to me, he gives me wisdom. He's not even trying to do it, and he does it. Mm. And he said years ago, when I first met him, he told me the secrets to how to play the 12th hole, which I thought was so cool when you think about it. And he never revealed what that secret was, but he said that he told me the secret of how to play the 12th hole, particularly in swirling winds and in a lot of wind. And it's one of these things that golf in particular has a way of doing this, where you get these crossroads. I call them human bridges. And Will Zalatoris, here we watch him, we go, where did this young kid come from? Well, he had some pretty good touches of greatness along the way.
Mm. His nickname is Showtime, and yet you can tell there's a humility if, in fact, he's willing at 24 years old to learn from people who have walked where he wants to go. Matt Adams is with us from Fairways of Life and Golf Channel. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. It is kind of striking from this particular Masters. You have Phil Mickelson, three-time champion, 50 years old. He makes the cut. He plays through the weekend. Bryson DeChambeau rallied, and I would say he's a star. Jordan Spieth back in kind of this contention mode after winning for the first time in 4 years. And yet, no Dustin Johnson, no Rory McIlroy. Justin Thomas dropped like a rock after that rain delay on Saturday. So a lot of the big names were missing from the weekend, and yet you still had this incredible show. And I know that's so typical of the Masters because of the course and because of the event, but yeah, I thought it was pretty striking how many of the top golfers in the world did not survive to the weekend.
Yeah, I think part of that was because of the draw, as they call it, when they teed off relative to Thursday or Friday. The important thing to realize is that when Bobby Jones, Clifford Roberts, had Mackenzie design Augusta National, their objective with this land that had been a former nursery was that it would play like, quoting, an inland links. Bobby Jones used to talk about how the property reminded him of St. Andrews, which was always curious to me because
I can't see that. It's just such a hilly property, and St. Andrews isn't very hilly. It's relatively flat, having once been covered by the sea. Yet, the golf course on Thursday and Friday played very much like an inland links. It was hard. It was running. Mm. The wind was blowing. The challenge is that some of the greens at Augusta National are raised with these false fronts, and there's very much areas that you have to put your ball in order to even secure a par, but certainly have a run at birdie. And I think there were some of the big names, like one you didn't mention, Patrick Cantlay, that opened with, say, 79. If you got on the wrong side of the draw and you were not hitting it perfectly, and you can understand someone like Brooks Koepka, say, with the bad knee and what he must have been struggling with to try to hit the exact shots that he wanted to, it could get in front of you very, very fast. And I think that's what happened with a lot of the game's big names, that we always expect them to perform well regardless, but sometimes you can't. So in combination with being a little shaky for whatever reason on their own right, on top of conditions that were brutally tough, this was a Masters that for many took its toll.
It was definitely a Thursday with the diabolical greens that the Masters is known for. But I got to tell you, Matt, my favorite thing, Hideki history notwithstanding, was to see fans and to hear fans walking the course and surrounding those greens again. It was amazing.
Yeah, and I guess that just ties back into our original theme that the Masters isn't only about who wins. It very much is about that, obviously, but that's not the only story. We all have a vested emotional interest in it. We all remember watching it with probably the person that introduced us to the game of golf. And to have people back on the grounds again is one more sign of that theme of hope that this Masters represents, the blooming of something more than just a golf tournament.
Matt Adams will have full recap and more of his insight and analysis from the Masters with Fairways of Life Radio that starts, well, in about 4.5 hours. And you can check him out on Twitter at Madams FOL to find out where you can tune in. Also with the Golf Channel and NBC. I'm mostly privileged to be able to call him a friend. Thank you, Matt. As always, good to talk to you.
Likewise. Thanks, AB. See ya.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.